Well, if you want to follow along again, I am going to be speaking from John 13, verses 1 through 17. You'll notice, hopefully, those of you who've been attending regularly on Sunday evening notice that we call our Sunday evening message, as it were, a devotional challenge. And the two parts to that, one is that devotional implies not a full-length sermon, all right? So for us here, full-length sermon could be anywhere from, well, it could be anything. Usually not short, though, right? But Sunday evening is a brief challenge, and that's the other aspect. We focus on not just exposition, but also on application in particular. And so I say that to say that if you're expecting a full exposition of 17 verses from John 13, you'll be sorely disappointed tonight. I just want to point out four key thoughts, four key aspects, things here tonight. Before I do, I want to share a little story that happened to me personally several years ago, a lot of years ago, longer than it seems. When I graduated from college, the summer after I graduated, I spent that summer doing missions work, resort mission work in and around Gatlinburg, Tennessee. And I worked at a place, an amusement park that was called Silver Dollar City. And they have one in Branson, Missouri, but they also had this one at the time in Pigeon Forge, Tennessee. It is now Dollywood. It was purchased, and made into Dollywood. Before that, so this gives you an idea how long ago, it was Silver Dollar City. And I worked in a little concession stand there. And, at the end of the day, you know, certain things had to be done in order to clean everything up. One of the things was to mop the floors and everything. And then after you mop the floors, you were to clean out the mop and the bucket and take care of that. And I came in one morning, one day after someone had closed up the night before, and there was the mop bucket and the mop left uncleaned, untaken care of. And I said, I'm not going to do that. That's not my job. I did my job. They didn't do their job. And whoever's responsible for that needs to do their job. I'm not going to do it. And so the next day, it wasn't done, and I didn't do it. The following day, it wasn't done, and I didn't do it. The next day, it wasn't done, and I didn't do it. I wasn't going to do it. It was somebody else's job. Somebody else made that mess. I wasn't going to clean it up. You know, it's dangerous to read the Bible and take it seriously, because the Lord will really speak to you. And I had been studying and meditating on scripture, and I came to Philippians 2, verses 5 through 8, where the Apostle Paul writes this, "Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who, though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men, and being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on the cross." And the Holy Spirit kind of worked me over from that passage. You know, here the Creator of the universe humbled himself to become a man, to become a servant, to die on the cross for your sins, and you can't clean out a mop bucket and a mop because it's not your mess. Well, I cleaned out the mop bucket and the mop. And guess what? By that time, after several days, it was gross. Maggots, all kinds of yuck. So I learned a couple of things. One of them is that if you let a problem go, it doesn't get better. All right? And if you're going to follow Christ, you need to be a servant. Surrender your rights. And follow his example. Well, aren't you glad that Jesus isn't like me? I sure am. And this evening, in John 13, the passage we read, we find a graphic example of what Paul was talking about in Philippians chapter 2. Familiar passage for many of us where Jesus washed the disciples' feet. I just want to make four brief points from this. I want to see four things. First of all, his commitment. The Commitment is the first word. Notice, now before the feast of the Passover, verse 1, when Jesus knew that his hour had come to depart out of this world to the Father, having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. Not part way, not halfway, not while it was convenient, he loved them to the end. Of course, he's going to continue loving them even beyond this by laying his life down for them. But here we see how he loves them by meeting their needs. And that's what Jesus came to do. He came to meet needs. He came to meet our deepest need of forgiveness of sin and reconciliation to God the Father by paying for our sin, by offering himself in his atonement. And here he is. He's serving. He demonstrated his love to the end. And he did it through his actions, not through his talk. John writes in 1 John 3:18, "Little children, let us not love in word or talk, but in deed and truth." In other words, not that it's wrong to say I love you. That's a good thing to do. But it's not good to say I love you or I love people and not show it by actions. Jesus showed his commitment, his love, by his actions. And he loved them to the end. He was committed. He continues to love his own and will to the end. Paul writes in Philippians 1, "I am confident in this very thing, that he who began a good work in you will perform it to the day of Jesus Christ." In other words, if you are a follower of Christ, Jesus is not going to take you part of the way and then drop you. Whenever we sin, the Lord does not deny us. He does not give up on us. He is committed to us. He's more committed to our growth, to our holiness, than we are to it ourselves. He loves his disciples, his own, to the end. The second thing, second word, is the word condescension. Condescension. Now this is, you know, condescending can be a negative term, or it can just express, you know, if you look condescendingly on somebody else, that's not a good thing. But the Creator of the universe condescended. He came down to our level. In the incarnation of Christ, the Creator became one of the created. He became one of us. He took upon himself flesh. And he, as Paul wrote in Philippians 2, he became a servant. And he was continually serving. You may know that the job of washing feet in the Lord's day was a necessary task. You know, they didn't have the same kinds of socks and shoes that we have. They lived in an arid climate, a dusty place. They wore sandals, and I mean, their feet would have been dirty. It was common, it was normal for the host to provide someone, and it was usually a non-Jewish slave to wash the feet of guests. Hadn't been done. Who should have done it? Well, someone other than the Master. But Christ, in this event, demonstrates what he had done in coming to earth. He condescended. He stooped to take upon himself the role of a servant and served his disciples. The Maker, the Master, stoops to do what none of the disciples would do. The third word is the word cleansing. The word cleansing. We see here a picture again of what Jesus came to do in general. Now here he's washing the disciples' feet. But it is symbolic of the washing from sin that Jesus came to provide. In verses 6 through 10, it says, "He came to Simon Peter, who said to him, 'Lord, do you wash my feet?' Jesus answered him, 'What I am doing you do not understand now, but afterward you will understand.' Peter said to him, 'You shall never wash my feet.' Jesus answered him, 'If I do not wash you, you have no share with me.'" That's still true. If Jesus does not wash you, you have no share with him. You're not one of his. The only way to be right with God is for Jesus to wash you clean of your sins. That is for you to acknowledge, confess that you're a sinner in no hope apart from not just a Savior, but the Savior of the world. There's no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved but the name of Jesus. And to turn from your sin and put your trust in Christ, not to do anything, but to receive what Christ has done, to receive by faith what Jesus has done, turning from your sin, repenting of your sin, and you receive cleansing from your sin. But that's not all. It's not just that once for all cleansing, because this is a picture of the fact that we need daily cleansing. Jesus says the one who is bathed does not need to wash except for his feet. We have been washed clean by the blood of Christ, and yet we still sin. So since if we confess our sin, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness, we need to daily confess our sins to the Lord. We need to keep short accounts with God, because every one of us picks up a little dirt, all right, in our lives spiritually. We have not yet been completely conformed to the image of Christ, and so we still are sinners saved by grace. We are in the process of becoming like the Lord Jesus, but we're not there yet completely. So we sin. And because we sin, we have an advocate before the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteousness. So we confess. So cleansing comes from Jesus. And not just initially to get into the Christian life, but daily. That's why you've heard Pastor Greg and you've heard me say, we need to preach the gospel to ourselves every day. It's not just to get into the Christian life, but it's how we live the Christian life. Well, the fourth word is the word commission. And that's where the real focus of this challenge is. Notice verses 15 through 17. For I have given you an example that you also should do just as I have done to you. Some take that literally in the sense of having foot washings. All right? Now, I'm not going to say that that you shouldn't do that. I'm not going to say that that's a wrong thing to do. But I really don't think that's what Jesus is getting at here, to have foot washing ceremonies. Because my feet don't get that dirty. I mean, really. My head gets a lot dirtier, as you can imagine, than my feet do. What Jesus is saying is that we need to serve one another. I have given you an example that you all also should do just as I have done to you. Truly, truly, I say to you, a servant is not greater than his master, nor is a messenger greater than the one who sent him. If you know these things, blessed are you if you preach about it. Blessed are you if you delegate it. Blessed are you if you do them. That's our commission. It is to be like Christ. Serve one another. Whatever the need may be, first and foremost is to serve the gospel to one another. It is to pray for one another, to encourage one another, to remind one another that the only way we can ever, ever be pleasing to God is through the finished work of Christ on the cross. And then to live lives of serving one another, whether it be cleaning out mop buckets or whatever it may be.